So what is he saying? Is he lying? Is God lying, saying, well, I taught them the best I could. They're gone. They're not faithful to God. Sometimes our children are going astray away. It's going to happen. And they're going to stray away from the Christian principles that you taught them. But we also see in the scripture a prodigal son. Remember, he strayed away too. And when the rubber met the road, I like that phrase. When it got time to make a decision on what he was going to do, what did he do? He returned home. Why? Obviously, some principles were being taught. We need to offer this teaching so that if they do fall away, they have something to come back to. Because if they never heard it, they don't know where to go. Cannot be done. So how do we teach our children the way of the Lord? With the remainder of our time this evening, and I'll go as quick as I can, we're going to look at an acrostic for the word child. I don't normally preach this way, but it was a good way to remember how we are to teach our children. So what are we going to teach them? C stands for Christ Jesus. We have to teach and train our children in the way of Jesus Christ, because John chapter 14 and verse number 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and there is no other way except through me. If we don't teach them that, then they're going to be mixed up like a lot of these people in our world that come to me and say, well, you've got your way and I've got my way, and we'll both end up in the same place. That's a mixed up thought process, because somewhere somebody was not taught that there is one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. You can't get on your own path, do your own thing, and expect at the end to be in the same place. One way. Through Jesus Christ, and we must teach and train our children the way of Jesus Christ, because He is the Savior of the world. We have to teach and train our children about what the Word says about Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, God in human flesh, who was born of a virgin woman, who performed many great miracles, who died on the cross for our sins, who rose from the dead, so that we might have everlasting life. We train and teach our children to put our trust in Jesus Christ for our daily needs. And an image, which stands for holiness. We must teach and train our children to be holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16 says this. He says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. We must teach our children, our grandchildren, our nieces, our nephews, our neighbors, that it pays to be holy. And what it means to be holy, that to be Christ-like in everything that we do and everything that we say. To teach our children to be holy, we must discover what the third letter in a child is, and that is instructions. To teach and to train our children about Jesus Christ and how to live holy, we must be taught and trained in biblical instruction. You say, well, I'm not real sure how to teach my child. Well, learn then. I can guarantee you can go to Mr. Robert and he will tell you what you need to do to study so that you can teach. You don't know how many people, after we give people lessons like this, come to me and says, you are absolutely right, Greg. We need to do our best to teach our children, but what do I teach my mother? Man, what do you know? Well, I know that Jesus Christ, okay, let's start there. Well, I know that I need to be baptized. Okay, let's go there. And from there, we can learn and we can grow. Nobody knows it by just osmosis. We don't just wake up one day and everything's there. We have to study and know. And what we don't know, we need to learn it. We find biblical instructions in the Holy Word. We see in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 5 through 17, a passage that we're all very much familiar with. He says, and from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make wise for salvation. salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see, we teach Jesus Christ and how to be holy through the instruction, whether it means you need to be instructed or you need to instruct them how to do that. But how do we do that? How do we train our children about Jesus Christ and how to live holy? Then we say, sit down in that seat and this is what you're going to learn. And I don't care whether you want to hear it or not, this is what you're going to hear. Is that what we do? I'll tell you what I've done. My dad would have done it to me. First of all, I just said, okay, because I was scared of it. I didn't want to get in trouble. But I wouldn't have retained too much. And I guarantee you, I wouldn't have a love for God like I do today, because I wouldn't have cared, because he wanted to feed it into me rather than for me to learn in love. We must love our children enough to train and teach them about Jesus Christ. We love them enough to teach them about baseball and softball and kickball and all these other sports and bands and whatever else they're involved. We have enough love to show them how to take care of all this. Do we not have the same kind of love to show our grandchildren and our neighbors and our nieces and our nephews that it is important to know who Jesus Christ is and to live holy? We do it in love. And last but not least, the part that we often like to see, or at least a lot of people do, discipline. There is a discipline that has to be involved, obviously. But I'm not talking about taking them out in the backyard and beating them with a stick because they wouldn't memorize their verse. We're to love our children while we're training them up in the way that they should go in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it doesn't mean that we should just let them get away with every little thing. That Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 says, he who spares their rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplined with him properly. Proverbs 19, verse 18. Any of these you want, you come to me afterwards, I'll give them to you. In Proverbs 19, 18 says, chase your son while there is hope. Do not set your heart on his destruction. Proverbs 22:15. Foolish is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it away. Proverbs 23:13. Do not withhold correction from child, for if you beat him with the rod, he will not die. Now, there were some times I thought I was going to. To train a child in the way of the Lord, we have to train and teach them about Christ. We need to train and teach them how to be holy in everything they do and they say and think. We have to train and teach our children the basic biblical instruction from the Word of God with love and discipline. None of this is easy. And if it were, we'd all have it perfect. And I don't stand up here saying that I've got it all figured out, because I absolutely do not. But one thing I do know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that if we will teach our children, your responsibility, with my help, with the minister's help, with other people's help, if we will do our part, they will be faithful. Oh, you said, well, you can't say that every time. You're right. There are some that will fall away. But you know what? I like my odds a little better with the ones that we do teach than the ones that we don't. The odds are a little better. You say, well, I've not really done a good job in that. My children are grown. What about your grandchildren? Maybe we can start there. Say, well, I don't really have any grandchildren. What about your neighbor? I see some young people in here that probably need some guidance. I'm sure their mom and dad could probably use some help. You've heard the phrase, faith, it takes a village to bring up a child. I believe it. But that does not take away our responsibility.
Greg went on to talk about that village being the church of our Lord, the body of Christ, as the village, not the political idea of the state becoming custodians of and guardians of our children, but how that the church, all the membership and all the abilities of everyone in the congregation could help young people as they grow in the ways of the Lord.
Our part in teaching our children. I hope you're serious about it. I don't think you could have me here if you weren't. There's a lot of empty seats. We have a great opportunity. We have a great opportunity to share a message that will not come back void if you're willing to speak it. With love. But you know what? The thing about it is, it all has to start with your own example. And tonight, maybe there's some here that cannot teach their children the way they ought to because they have sin in their own life. The example that they see outside of church, because, you know, it's easy for us to come here and put on our nice clothes and maybe even some clean shoes and socks and come and sit in a pew and look at the preacher and smile and think that everything is great. But then when they get home, the example they see is not one that's of the Scripture. We need to start there. Tomorrow, if you have the opportunity to come back, we're going to talk about things that we need to teach our children. On a more specific level, there are about seven or eight things that I want to share with you.